Let us pray. Father, we're grateful. Lord Jesus, we're grateful. Holy Spirit, we're grateful for another opportunity to gather at your feet and to learn the way of life more perfectly. We appreciate you for your goodness and mercies in our lives. We appreciate you for that which you have been doing, that which you are doing, that which you yet do tonight. We worship and we adore you. Lord, as we go into this time of the ministration of the word, let the heavens be open, O Lord our God. Grant us that we may see the visions and revelations of our God, that your word will come expressly unto us, O God. You will stretch forth your hand in our midst, O God, to confirm the same word with signs and wonders following. Lord, as the word goes forth, O God, from you, through me under the covenant of self, Father, Son, let it go forth as rivers of living waters, bringing life, bringing power, bringing comfort unto our hearts, unto our lives, causing us to go from strength to strength, because we have appeared before you in Zion. We worship you, our God. Lord, as I minister the word, I ask you for mercy to be concise and precise, to speak the things you have me speak, the way you have me speak it, so that you have the effect you desire, first in my life and the lives of everyone here, so that, Lord, our lives will change, become more like you. In Jesus' name. Father, Psalm 91, precisely, we read verse 14, 15, and 16. Because he has set his love upon me. Let's read together. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I want to minister unto us on living long. Living long. In verse 16 here, God has made his heart known, what he wants to do, his will known. He wants to satisfy us with long life. And he wants to show us his salvation. And we need to just cooperate with him so that. Many people want long life. But why do you want long life? Do you want long life because of why God wants long life? With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We have been taught in this, as we know, that salvation talks more than just salvation of, you know, your spirit. It's full salvation. The salvation of your spirit, your soul, and your body. In fact, the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Now, you must not be satisfied with living until you see the fullness of his salvation. You must not be satisfied with living for God until you see the fullness of his salvation. In your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 17, verse 15. He said, and I will be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. So until you see the fullness of his likeness and nature in your spirit, in your soul, And in your body, you must not be satisfied with, and you must not die. Amen. 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 Let's read Isaiah 65, verse 22. Pastor shared this scripture with us when he was talking about the blessings of the age to come. I will just reiterate some of the things he says and move on. He said, they shall build, they shall not build, and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. Amen. Now, this is the will of God. It says, as the days of a tree are the days of my people. You need to understand what the days of a tree are. You see, when God uses illustration like that, I went to ask, an agricultural friend. I said, come, can you give me an idea of the lifespan of a tree? And he went to internet and he just, brought out something for me. And I saw, trees, 100 years, 150 years, 250 years, 300 years, some more. And I said, what determines that? He said, it's very simple. As long as the soil is good, the tree will keep flourishing. And when he said that, it just occurred to me, God is saying something here. Say, as long as the soil of your heart is good, you will live long. So, the key to living long is inside your heart. If you take care of your heart, that's what the proverb said. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. The forces of life, the forces that will give you long life, flows out of your spirit in God. Amen. So, that's one. So when he said that, he said, as long as the soil is good, the tree will keep flourishing and live long. Say, God is saying something. Then God spoke something, another thing to my heart. He said, Psalm 92. The house where you are planted in determines the longevity of your life. If the soil of the house where you are planted in is good, you will live long. Psalm 92. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Go on, verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Verse 15. To show that the Lord is upright, is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. In their old age. That means the key is actually in our hand. The soil of our heart and the soil of where we are planted in. And thanks be unto God, we are planted in good soil. Amen. We have a goodly heritage. Amen. The soil of this ground is good. Is fertile. Amen. Amen. So everything is falling in right places for us. It's just for us to cooperate with God. And we will live long. And we will flourish. We will be fat. We will bring forth fruit in our old age. And it will show that the Lord is upright. Amen. So as the days of a tree, so are the days of my people. Who is he talking about? He's talking about us. My elect shall live long enough to enjoy the work of their hand. Amen. You will not labor and another eat. You will not die before your time. Every appointment with death over your life is broken. One day, I don't know whether you heard that, Pastor was praying here for us during, you know, the healing scriptures, and it just came out of his spirit. He said, I will not permit you to die. I don't know whether you heard it, but I heard it, and I said, thank God. If my Father in the Lord will not permit me to die, then I will not die. I will live. I will not die. I will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Amen. 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 That's why they use trees as landmarks. Because they endure long. So when they want to make a covenant, they plant trees. When they want to mark lands that this portion belongs to me, they plant trees. Because when you are gone, the trees will still be there. God wants to use us as landmarks. Reference point. He said it in Isaiah 63. They shall be oaks of righteousness, the planting of our God, that God might be glorified. That God might be glorified. God wants you to live long as the days of a tree. It's planting on the earth in his house. So that his name can be glorified. Hallelujah. 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 Let's define long life from the scripture. Psalm 55 verse 23. But thou, O God, shall bring them into the pit, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men. I can't hear you. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out of their days, but I will trust in thee. I will trust in the Lord to live the fullness of my days. But God is the one talking here. He said, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out of their days. In simple terms, wicked people will not live half of their days. Will not live out half of their days. So we need to now see some example of wicked people in the Bible. I want to see how they live, how long they live, and multiply it by two, so that we know how long we will live. Is it not clear? Is it clear? Amen. Now, when we are reading Psalm 90, let's go to verse 10. Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Are you there? Verse 10. The days of our years, say it. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and will fly away. Now, okay, let's read Amplified. Thank you, sir. Amplified. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. That is 70 years. Or even, if by reason of strength, 80 years, 80 years, yet is their pride in additional years only labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone and will fly away. Something happened to me one day, and I was praying in the presence of God. I said, God, all this vision that you give us, that made us left off to follow you, close to 30 years now that we've been following you, we have not seen these things. Anytime from now, God having mercy, one will be 50. Then, you know, in the mentality, I say, how many years to go? Then I just, you know, most of us don't know, but there's a sublime impression in our heart that we are to live 70 to 80 years. We have had this so long, but I want to break that yoke now. So I too was thinking like that. I said, 30 years more. What will we do in 30 years? Then God asked me, because who told you there is 30 years more? Then he took me to that scripture that said bloody and deceitful men. Then he said, those 70 to 80 years, they are not the years of the righteous. They were the years of the people who disobeyed him in the wilderness. Verse 9. Let's go to verse 9, amplified, so that we can get it. Verse 9, amplified. Okay. Yeah. For all our days out here in the wilderness, says Moses, pass away in your wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. For we are not know we are doomed to die soon without reaching Canaan, without reaching the promised land. So, did you get it? It's not talking about the righteous here. It's talking about the wicked. Those that refuse to believe him. Those that had evil heart of unbelief. Those that will not enter his rest. Those are the ones that died 70 to 80 years. They cut their lifespan half. So 70 to 80 years is half. Do you get it? So get ready. We will live long. I said, get ready. We will live long and be satisfied with the salvation. So it's not 80 years, my brother. So multiply it by 2. So we are starting at 140. That's the definition of long life. So pull down that stronghold. The stronghold of 70 and 80 years, pull it down. It's not of God. It is not of God. Pull it down. If you don't pull it down, every time you think, as you are growing older, you think, oh, I will soon die. And as you think in your heart, so will be. It happened to me, so I know. Do you understand? So, we are just starting. Amen. 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 Let's look at another set of wicked people. At least this one is clear, isn't it? Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Wicked men will not live half of their lifetime. Okay, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, which man was he talking about here? Let's go to verse 4. There were giants in those days, and also after that, when sons of God came in unto daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Go ahead. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. So he was talking about wicked men. The 120 years that God said, my spirit will not strive with man, because it's also flesh. It's not talking about the righteous. It's talking about the wicked. And the wicked will not live half. So you can understand what he means when he said, as the days of a tree. As the days of a tree. As the days of a tree are the days of my people. And my elect shall live long to enjoy the work of their hand. He wants us to live long. He wants us to pull down that stronghold and develop a new mentality. Amen. So when you are getting to 60, you shouldn't be winding up. you should be firing up. When you are getting to 80, that's not the time to think, I'm nearer the grave. You are not nearer the grave, you are just starting. Moses started at 80. Abraham started at 75. Caleb started at 65. Hello? Hello? Amen. Enoch, 65. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? When we are talking about long life, according to the scripture, I didn't say according to tradition of men. According to the scripture. And thank you, sir. So you multiply by 2. Amen. So, at least 2. Thank you. Amen. So, 70, 80, 120 times 2. So we are starting from 140 and we are going to where? As the days of a tree. Now, you are staggering. Because we don't see people like that on the earth anymore. They used to be. That's part of tasting of the powers of the age to come. And we will taste it. Amen. Amen. Are you getting a picture now? Are you getting a picture? A biblical picture. Not a traditional. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So the lifespan of a righteous man starts from 140. How does it sound? Receive it in your heart. Let that good heart receive it. It's the word of God. So when you nourish that word, it's that word that will produce the long life. That long life is not going to come by natural might. It's not going to come by natural power. You know, those 70 and 80, they tried, but it was in sorrow. But this one, he said, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Amen. Those long days, they will be spent in prosperity, not in struggle, not in sickness. Those years, they will be spent in pleasure, good health. Amen. Moses, his natural force was not abated, and he has the no good. Amen. Amen. Because the Spirit of God was upon him. And it dwell in the presence of God. Amen. As this spirit without measure is released, we will see wonders. Things eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, but God has prepared. We will see, especially in this dimension of long life. All our old people that are here, don't wind up. It's time to fire up. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Question. Why must we live long? Why? Why live long? Is it to consume it on your own lust? To do as it seems pleasant unto you? Amen. To nourish your heart with fatness as in the day of slaughter? No? When God was talking in Psalm 91, he said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. In that word, showing my salvation is talking about our destiny. Perfection and fullness of Christ. Inheritance of the Spirit with my measure. The manifestation of the glory of our God. Amen. So we are living longer so that we can see the fullness of our prophetic destiny. Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. Verse 7, I believe. Though, let's read. Though your beginning was small, yet the latter end should greatly increase. That great increase, the great manifestation of God's glory and power, fulfillment of purpose and destiny, is in our latter days. And if you die before your time, you won't see it. But God has made up his mind. I will show you. He has made up his mind. He said, I will show you. He said, I will show you. The question is, do you want to see it? You know Simeon? God told him that he will not die until he sees the consolation of Israel. And he made up his mind, I will not die. Amen. He cleaved unto God. He said, I will not die until he carried that baby in his hand. You will not die. You will live and see the glory of God in the land of the living. Amen. Amen. We see this fulfilled in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus did not live long in the sense of what we are talking now, but he fulfilled destiny because his purpose was to die for us. Do you understand? That was his purpose. His purpose was to die for us. But the fullness of his prophetic destiny, all of them, like Pastor told us that we have had many times, almost 90% of it were fulfilled on the last 24 hours when he was about going to the cross, when he was on the cross, when they brought him down, when they put him in the grave. Some were fulfilled when he was 12. Some were fulfilled. But the bulk of it was fulfilled in his latter days. Amen. Moses. 40 years he was in Pharaoh's court. 40 years he was in the wilderness. And we didn't see any glory of God upon his life. No destiny. In fact, the man has given up until God appeared to him in a burning bush. And he said, Moses. He said, come, let me send you to Pharaoh. He said, me, who am I? Hey! Amen. He said, I will be with you. And his destiny for which he was born began at 80. And the fullness of it was fulfilled. Amen. At 120. The whole of Deuteronomy was read in one day. Everything you see from Deuteronomy chapter 1 to verse 34. It was what Moses preached on the last day that was going to go. That Deuteronomy 1 to 34 was what Moses, he called all of them together and he rehearsed the story of God's purpose and destiny for Israel in one day. And when he finished it, he climbed the mountain and went. Hello? Your latter end will greatly increase. That's why you must live long. He spoke it by the Spirit of God upon him. That was why Solomon misbehaved. David did not live long. David died at 70. Because of Bathsheba. Because of the sin of Bathsheba. In heaven, if David had the opportunity to erase it, but it can't be. It's already in the annals. But we are learning from it. So that we will not go that way. Amen. If David had lived to be 120, he would have trained up Solomon very well. Solomon would have been matured. David would have built the temple.
And by the time Solomon was ascending the throne, he would be fully equipped. Do you understand me? Order full training not to misbehave. The kingdom will not have been divided. All the problems that happened in Israel happened because of that. Because the kingdom was divided. And when the kingdom was divided, somebody went to establish another altar. Idolatry started. And the people went a worry. You will live long. I will live long. To fulfill the fullness of our destiny. To see the fullness of the salvation of our God. Amen. Amen. John the Beloved. You know, they tried to kill him. He hasn't finished his destiny. Church history told us they put him in a pot of oil. He didn't die. He must yet see revelation. And he must write revelation for us so that the canon can be closed. That was his destiny. And he must see the fullness of that destiny. Apostle of love. Death could not kill him. He refused to die. They banished him to the island of Patmos and he saw revelation. You will live, you will not die. Can you see why you must live long? Amen. Amen. Don't entertain death in your thoughts. Death is an enemy. You fight it. You resist it. You break his hold over your spirit, soul, body. That's what we confess here, Abby. Death hold is broken over our souls, over our body. You break his hold. You don't give it a place. You give it no place. Death is an enemy. Amen. And thank God, Jesus has broken the power of death for us. The Bible says, through the gospel, amen, he has brought life and mortality to life. And abolish death. You know what it means to abolish? Wipe it out completely. Amen. Through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. Satan had the power of death. He doesn't have it anymore. It's Jesus that now has the power of death. He rose up. He said, I have the keys. I have the keys, brethren. So, amen. Just take the key from me and bind death. Amen. And it's bound concerning you. Amen. Is it clear? The key. Amen. That pastor said the key is not in our what? In our mouth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Therefore choose life. Amen. Jesus collected the keys from us. We should be free now from the bondage of the fear of death. That's why Jesus came. Amen. 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 Let's look at how to live long. Hallelujah. How do we live long? Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Let's start from there. Say, my son. Say, my son. Forget not my law. What law is that? Law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But let thy heart keep my commandments. What commandment is that? Commandment of life and love. We have been taught all that. The issue now is operate it. Don't forget it, my son. Don't forget it. Keep it. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You see, one day pastor was teaching us in James. And he taught us about the law of sin and death. How you can abort it. You know there's a law of sin and death. Huh? He said, let not any man say I'm tempted of God. James chapter 1 verse 13. When he's tempted of evil. For God does not tempt any person with evil. But every man is tempted when he's enticed of his own lust and drawn away. Have you? And when sin is When lust has finished, it leads to sin. And when sin is conceived, it brings death. Can you see how death comes? So you must cast that circle before it starts. That's why you must crucify the lust and the affection of the flesh daily. If you don't, it's going to generate death. That's why you operate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That travail, load with life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And fire by the Spirit. You clean with the blood, load with life, fire by the Spirit. There's a purpose. You are putting that law into motion so that life, the cycle of life, can go on and swallow up death. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3 again, let's go back. Forget not that law and keep my commandment. We know the commandment. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 and verse 24. It said, this is the commandment. Abi, believe on the name of the Son, Abi, and love one another as loved you. Even as he gave us commandment. We know all that. The issue is not know now, is do. Is do. Somebody said do. Somebody said do. Pastor said that when he was teaching us in James 2. He said, the man that look at the law of liberty and continue therein, not being a forgetful, that man shall be blessed in his deeds. Amen. He will live long. That's what it means. So now, the issue is not know. There are so many things we know. The issue is do. Someone said do. 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 He said, forget not my law. You know, Pastor has been hammering something in recent times. The law must be used. But now it must be used diligently, frequently. Amen. So that death will not even be in your circumstance, in your circumference. Is it clear? So that through the abundance of the grace of God and this gift of righteousness, we can reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So what we have from verse 2, when you forget not that law, when you keep that commandment, length of days and long life and peace shall they hard. Someone say hard. Say hard. Say hard. It will hard it to you. That's why he gave us the law. That's why he gave us the commandment for our good. Amplified. For length of days and years of a life worth living and tranquility and inward and outward and continuing through old age till death. This shall they add to you. Make up your mind to live long. You have to contend for it with faith. Because there is somebody who doesn't want you to live long. Hallelujah. So, what are we learning? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, just use it. Diligently. Frequently. You carry that cross daily. Amen. The commandment of life and love. Clean with the blood. Load with the word. And fire by the Spirit. As frequently as possible. At least once every 6 hours. Every opportunity. And in every temptation. With our thoughts and actions. Amen. Now, we are seeing why we must use those things now. Long life doesn't drop on people like ripe cherry. Amen. Okay. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Next verse.
For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased.
Let's put our hands together for the Lord. What's the key? The fear of the Lord. When we are talking about the fear of the Lord, we have been told, we have been taught, honesty of heart, humility of heart, it comes back to that heart matter. As long as the soil of the heart is good, long life is guaranteed. It's the same thing. Whether natural truth from natural or spiritual. Because God is the author of all truth. So, when you are confessing, I choose to fear God, you are choosing long life. So, you know why you should pray now. So, you don't do it because Pastor Luby said I should do it. Anyway, one man thinks, okay, if you don't do it in these days, you must make, okay, let me be doing it. Mm-mm. Do it with revelation, do it with understanding, do it with passion. Amen. So when you are choosing the fear of God, you are choosing long life. For by the fear of the Lord, your days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life be increased. Amen. Amen. Let's look at another scripture. Let's go back to Psalm 91. We just emphasized what we have emphasized, but you know, we need to, you know, it's multifaceted truth from different aspects of the scripture. Psalm 91, let's start with verse 1. Where are we, Psalm 91? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord, is my refuge, is my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust? Then we go to verse 11, I believe. No, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord. I can't hear you. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Let's go to verse 14 now. Verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name. Let's go ahead. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Make the Lord thy refuge. Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Almighty is love. God is love. The Most High is love. You dwell in love, you dwell in God. You abide in him. Because he has set his love upon me, he still comes back to love. We keep the commandment of love. We abide in the love of God. Amen. Amen. Say abide in love and live long. Amen. He said in verse 2, he said, my God, in whom I trust. Believe in God. Believe in love. And live long. Love. God. Love. God is love. One final thing in Psalm 91. He said, I will say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress. Your mouth is crucial to living long. Amen. You cannot speak death and live long. Amen. In fact, one of the confessions that should not leave your mouth now is that, as the days of a tree, so are my days. Amen. It must not leave your mouth now. With long life, will it satisfy me? Amen. It's what you say of the Lord that it will be unto you. What you have is what you are saying. Amen. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and you say, is my life and the length of my days. Make that your confession. Speak life. Amen. Break the hold of death over your soul, over your body, over your life, over your circumstance, over your household. Amen. And declare that life reigns. Amen. It doesn't matter how far death has gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. The cycle of life will overtake it and swallow it up. Amen. 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 Much more abound. Praise the Lord. So, okay, let's go to the next one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. I believe you should know that. But it's not knowing that we are talking about now, it's doing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Somebody say, this is right. Every other thing is wrong. Amen. Verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with what will happen? That it may be well with you, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. Straightforward. Honor thy father and thy mother, and obey thy parents in the Lord. The instructions they give to you, they are thy life. When you keep it, you will live and you will not die. So the instructions that are coming from our parents in the Lord is for us to live long. It's for us to live well. It's for us to live fulfilled and reach that destiny. That's why the Bible says, that's the only thing that is right. Death can't be right now. Is death right? Okay, so let's move to the last one. Amen. Wow. Exodus 23:25. Okay, do we start from there? Okay, 23:25-26, I believe. Let's read. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and it shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Yes. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will fulfill. What's the key? Serve the Lord your God. That was what Simeon and Anna did. They served the Lord with their spirit in the place of prayer, and they lived long to see that consolation. Amen. Serve the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with a willing and a ready mind. Amen. God said the same thing to Solomon. Say, if you do it, then you will live long. Your throne will endure. Upon the throne because of David. Okay. I think I should be rounding up now. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 to 21. Therefore, shall you lay up this my words in your heart
in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Let's go on. You shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest in the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Four times every 6 hours. You get that? Go on. Thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates. Then what will happen? That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swear unto your father to give you, as the days of heaven upon the earth. So what are we to do? Lay his words in our hearts. That long life is coming from his word that is laid up in our hearts. And when your heart is good, that's the key, the soil. It will bring forth that long life. Without struggle. You know, that's the parable of the kingdom. Abby? He sowed the seed and he knew it not how. And Abby? Then the blade. And the full corn in the air. Everything God is going to produce in our life, including long life, is going to come from his word. He sends those words so that they can prosper and fulfill the purpose he has in our mind. Okay. Rounding up. Hallelujah. I believe you have made up your mind to live long. Let's determine to live long. Let's determine to fulfill the fullness of our destiny. Let us choose life daily by loving God with all our heart and keeping his commandment. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we use that to round up. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Father, we are grateful for the covenant of long life. 15. We start from 15. See, somebody say, see. I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. How did he set it before us? Verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandment and his statutes and his judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess. Next verse. But if thy heart turn away from what? From loving me, from keeping my commandment, keeping my statutes, so that thou will not hear, but thou shalt be turned away and worship other God and serve them. I denounce, God forbid, on our behalf. I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Next verse. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Somebody say, choose life. Say, choose life. Why should you choose life? That both thou and thy seed may live. Next verse. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, the length of thy days, that thou mayest.
Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. A super clap offering.
You have heard the word of God tonight. You know, this message is a message that we need to hear often and often. So get it on the MP3 on the email. Put it inside your car. Put it in your computer. Put it on your phone. Listen to it often. You don't hear this kind of messages. When last you hear anybody preach on long life? People don't preach on it. You know why? Most people don't believe it's possible. You've heard it, you know, Akole Oluwani. In our language, that means, you know, the Lord has already said it. And that, you know, nobody has control over his life and you can die at any time. All those things are lies of the devil. For one thing, there is no fixed day for you to die. If there was a fixed day for you to die, then they would not be able to add to it. That's one stronghold broken. It's a lie. You know, if it was true that God has determined a day, how can it increase? I want to just amplify a few things Pastor Ibrahim has said, and then we're going to pray. The first thing I want to say is the vital importance of this truth. Because so many Christians die prematurely down through the ages, not just now, but over the last 1,000, 2,000 years, and even in our own contemporary time. On Sunday, we're talking about taking Zion. So many Christians have died. So it's difficult for people to believe that you can live long. Very difficult. In fact, it's a stronghold in our mind. That's why people were not saying amen when Pastor Ibrahim was preaching. Right? It's when I shout, they'll say amen. We have been so conditioned, and that's what happened to him. Him said, ah, look at all you, God, these days, you're getting old. That's how the devil come and tell you. You know, you're getting old, you know. You better start winding up. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's that's one why I wanted him to preach this message tonight. Jesus is coming soon, quite all right. But we must live long. So we can fulfill our destiny. Don't let the devil or any other person talk you out of living long. Believe the scriptures, not the traditions of men, not the histories of men. It's true, many good men, in quotes, have died. It's true, many people have not lived long. But whose report will you believe? Do you want to believe the report of people's experience, or do you want to believe what the Bible says? Let's make it a little bit more fundamental. Is God a liar? The whole religion. Everybody will say it's no, but you know, to not believe in long life is to say God is a liar. After all, I didn't write the Bible. Pastor Ibrahim did not write the Bible. The scripture is explicit, and I thank God for him bringing out so many scriptures. It's not one, it's not two, it's not three. It's all over. The will of God is clear on this matter. And it's conditional. But what I mean is that it's without respect of persons. It's not for some special people. It was a general thing to the whole of Israel. And by extension to the whole church. So it's not a question of, Pastor Olubi has faith. Can I hear has faith? Those ones, they can live long. You know, but me... Yeah. Anybody, any Christian who, one, will accept what God's word has said about it, two, begin to, by the mercy and the grace of God, fulfill the conditions, will live long. And not only will you live long, you live as long as you want. When I was a young man, God spoke these scriptures to me. At that time, I didn't know all I know today. You know, Satan came to me and said, I will kill you. When I accepted the call of God, when I was in Imperial College, you know, he said, you want to go and try all that nonsense? I'm telling you, at that time, I didn't know as much as I know now, you know, and I'm still learning, you know. He said, remember Stephen? He said, Satan knows the Bible. This is what he told me. And he knew I knew the scripture. And he knew how much confidence I had in scripture. He said, Stephen was full of faith and power. So he asked me, see, do you have as much faith and power? Of course, I could not say I had as much. The devil is bad, though. I could not say I had as much faith and power as Stephen. So he now said, if I kill Stephen, I will kill you. Telling you my personal experience. I was in a quandary. I said, Jesus. Anyway, I didn't know the Bible as well as I know it now. I all said, I couldn't argue with those scriptures because it was Bible. So I said, I don't care. I said, it doesn't matter. I will tell you what's going inside my heart. I said, I don't care. I said, even if I die, at least I know I'll go to heaven, but I'm still going to serve God. Now, God must have seen that reaction. All this happened at my thought level. So it was a few days later. It was later, just a short time. This scripture kept coming to me. With long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. With long life. After the devil had told me all those things about Stephen. So now, God now asked me. He said, who is the subject of that verse? And I tried to be religious. Like all of us. He said, God, everything's in your hand. God said, read it. I said, with long life. He said, who is supposed to be satisfied? I said, God. He said, read it. Who is supposed to be satisfied? I was trying to be religious and, but I wasn't being honest. The Bible didn't say, with long life, will I satisfy God? He said, with long life, will I satisfy him? So he asked me, he said, who is supposed to be? I said, him. He said, are you satisfied? I said, no. He said, keep on living. That's how I got free. That was how I was set free from that stronghold, the trap. Because I could have gone away believing that I would die anyway, and I would have died. I had not landed in Nigeria. I hadn't spent a month. I got back in late September. My mother bought me a car, my Volks, my first Beetle, and I was going to just, go back and serve God. And, I didn't really know. This was by faith. So I went back to Cross River State, where I did my youth call, which was where I got born again, to pick up the trail and find out what God wanted me to do. So as I prayed and all of that, I was teaching in another school. I was in Ikon before, but this time I was in Ugoja. So I taught there for about a few months. It became clear to me God didn't want me to stay in Cross River. I wanted to come back to Ibadan and work with Brother Emiko. So I contacted Brother Emiko. Anyway, it's got a long story short. I came back to Ibadan. It was that. Just a few months. The car was new. I was staying in Larry's dad's house, Brigadier Johnson's house, my uncle, because when I went in prayer college, I was from their house. I went, I can never forget it. I just came home from Cross River. I think I came through Ibadan. I spoke to Brother Emiko, and I was going to come back later, but I went to Lagos. It was in front of Sheraton, that same road. My car suddenly had a flat tire. So I just parked a little bit. It was still on the road, but just a little bit on the side. It was right in front of Sheraton, that Bank Anthony way. That time they hadn't built it up as much as it. I'm talking about this is late 1980. December. So I got out of the car to change the tire. So I brought out the jack and all of that, pushed the thing under, put a stone, and all that. No problem for me. I knew how to do it. So I was like this, the folks, the engine is at the back. So I opened the engine to try and just check. I don't know what I was checking, go. Something just said to me, That's why sometimes God speaks in an audible voice. It was one of the few occasions it happened to me. Step aside. I was like this. In front of the Volkswagen, you know, at the back of the Volkswagen. You know? He says, step aside. I just quickly jumped. Immediately, another car just came. Vroom, and hit the back of my car. It would have crushed me with the car. Imagine, 21-year-old boy. I said, enough there. He said, you know, I told you I'll kill you. He told me. That first thought that came to me, I told you, you say you come to Nigeria to preach this gospel and do all this kind of Hegel and all this rubbish, I will finish you. Say, you haven't seen anything yet. I was shaken, but thank God I had the word of God. With long life, so I saw, you know, so I had to call my uncle, you know, and then, call my uncle's house. One of the drivers came to come and meet me, and you know, that time the Volkswagen was still there, the one in where they used to make the cars. So on the way to this was in Lagos, on the way to Badagry, you know, and my uncle, because of Julius Berger and all of that, they knew the people in. So anyway, you know, I got the Volkswagen and they came to move the car, you know, to go and fix it, you know, and here was I at home. I haven't even started. Will I survive this thing? Can you imagine the kind of thoughts I was going on in the mind of a young boy? I said to myself, even if I die, it doesn't matter. You see, until you come to a place where you love not your life unto the death, you can't go far with God. Satan will intimidate you. But I believe the word of God. And over the years, and I was just one. I got this 2 years, I think it was December 1982, then me and my friend. That same car. I had an accident, I didn't tell myself. And then there were many others. So many others. There was the night of the Buhari coup. That was January. It was December 31, 1983. The Buhari coup that remove Shagari, and then Buhari became head of state. I can never forget that day. It was me and Sister Sarah, who she was my fiance then, you know, and we went to our friends in Lagos, you know, Yemi and Titi Akison, brother, Sister Lade and Rashi, you know them very well, you know, just to go and fellowship with them. That was when Tunde Joda was starting Christ Chapel that very night. So we did the all night with them, you know, to start the church. It was just in a small sitting room in a place in Suleri. That's how Christ Chapel started. Because Tunde and I were friends from UI days and all of that. You know, all we faith boys. You know. And so I think we spent the night in Yemi and Titi's place, you know, and we'll come back to Ibadan. This is just that transition. So everything was, you know, that time, you know, the coup and all of that. So, we were on the expressway. And my car had a problem. This must have been about, 10 o'clock, 11 at night. You know? I mean, my wife being a lady, she was worried. Ha! If one brother come and meet us here and everything. I said, don't worry, everything is going to be okay. I said it by faith. You know? So I just told her to wait, you know. I just started praying in tongues. Thank God to know how to pray. I just started praying. I didn't know life scriptures at that time. I didn't know all of that. I just prayed. Oh, praying in tongues. I said, ministry spirits! I learned that from Ken Hagen. Ministry spirits, go and get help for us. So I started flagging down the cars. Nobody stopped. I stopped. Okay. Nobody stops on the express for people. Phew. All the cars, one after the other, everybody was passing. You know, how are we going to leave this place? You know, what if people come and meet us here? The car was broken down. You know, finally, about 10, 15 minutes. I kept praying in the spirit and speaking the word, you know, tell the angels to go and protect us. So finally, one car passed us and then just stopped. And then the guy started reversing. So just reversed to where we were. You know, then he had one of these electronic, you know, those things were still new in those days. You know, he slowly and said, "What is the problem?" Immediately I said, "My name is Olubi Johnson. I'm a lecturer in University of Ibadan. I'm here with my fiancée. My car has just broken down. Can you help us?" The man just looked at me. Then he put the window down. You know. Then he said, "Okay, yeah, I will help you. What we're going to have to do is..." He said, come in, tell her to come in. So he took us inside the car. He was a colonel in the army. He had a gun. He said, "If I had just..." He had a gun, you know. He said, he was telling me that. He said, "If I had just tried anything, that would have just been the end of it." This is a true story. Angels are on assignment too. He not only helped us. So he drove us up to the Ibadan Express, to toll gate, you know. Got a towing vehicle. True story. He got a towing vehicle for us. You know, the money had just changed. Remember that time? They were changing the currency. So I didn't have money. He said, "Don't worry, sir, I have money." He told the towing vehicle, said, "How much are you going to take?" I can't remember what it was. You know, gave that new currency. He gave it to me, said that anything that they needed, you know, so he instructed them. So they now, we went back with the car, hooked my car up to the towing vehicle, paid the people, and told them to take me straight home. That time I was still sleeping in that house that we started scripture pasture in Abu, you know, and gave me his card. And said, "I'm Colonel so and so and so. If there's anything, you know, just give me a call. You know, it's really been nice meeting. We're just chatting all over the whole, you know. Please give me brand new currency. I can never forget it." You know, we got home about 1 a.m. The towing vehicle and everything. You see, after about 5 or 6 of those experiences, I now came to know that God can protect you. And he taught me many of the things I'm teaching you today. I learned so many lessons about prayer, walking in the spirit, and all of these things. They're not theory. Took us to the house, you know, and that was another story that just went. There were so many other times like that, when our children came, all kinds of problems. You know, see, this world will not be without problem, especially if you're in the will of God. In fact, the more you are in the will of God, the more the problem. Affliction arises for the word's sake and through much tribulation. Once you are on the right track, then Satan will send his troops to you. He doesn't disturb people who are not disturbing him. They're, you know, if they are not attacking you, God, you're not worth attacking. And he has limited troops, so he only concentrates on strategic things. He doesn't have time to waste on people who are not going anywhere. Hello, somebody. Amen. You know, so those experiences plus the word of God taught me that yes, you will live long, and here I am today. And I still have many years to go. I will not die. I will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living by the mercy and the grace of God. Now, that's not a boast. I said this recently, and I'll just highlight a few points and we'll close. You know, it's presumptuousness to say I cannot die. That's foolishness. Of course you can. If Jesus died, you can. How many people know Jesus died? The Roman soldier took the spear. He was in perfection, but the spear still went through the flesh and blood. Because we can die, but you will not die. To say you cannot die is presumptuousness, and it makes you not careful. It's actually foolishness. It's spiritual childishness. It's kids who don't, they all talk, you know. To say you will die is unbelief. To say you will live by the mercy and the grace of God is faith. Take the middle road. Yes, of course we can die, but we will not die. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got it. They said, our God is able to deliver, but even if he doesn't, we're still going to have believed God. Are you following? You know, Jesus was so careful. I learned these things by study. I marked Jesus closely, and I'm still marking him. You know, the Bible, he said, when he knew the Jews wanted, he walked not in jury. God taught me, he said, so many Christians are so stupid. They are so presumptuous. He said, if your Lord was careful, how much more you? So over the years, I've learned not to be presumptuous. It's not faith, though, it's foolishness. Are you listening to me? I know the difference between unbelief, presumptuousness, and true faith. True faith is trusting in the mercy and the grace of God and fulfilling God's conditions by that same mercy and grace as much as you can. Then you're on the right track. Presumptuous, you know, the devil is a liar. And all these stupid cliches. We just pull this, you know, it's not my portion. All that will not work if you don't fulfill the conditions Pastor Ibrahim preached today. It's no doctor. The talk must be backed with the lifestyle. Right, on the other hand, you need to believe God. Don't be afraid. But you know. Now, 3 points or so that I took notes while he was talking. He said that he quoted from Psalm 92 verse 13, that those that are planted in the house of the Lord, he says, they will flourish and they will bring forth fruit in old age. Now the question is, what is the house of the Lord? Now he didn't say that, and I just wrote it down. You see, the answer is in Psalm 1. He said, they that are planted by the rivers of water. So a true house of the Lord will have rivers of water, so that the tree will have nourishment. The reason why so many trees are not flourishing and they are not living long and they are not bringing forth fruit in old days, because they are not planted in a house of the Lord where there are rivers of water. Psalm 1 verse 3. He says he planted. So this, you can substitute the house of the Lord for the rivers of water. So it is a house. That's why we pray once every month for long life, when the rivers of water come out. It is from that one you can draw your nutrition and you will live long. Is it clear? Number 2. This is beautiful. I actually preached this 20 something years ago when Dame Ladi was born. It's 1990. I still remember, because I used him even though it was a baby. And I will say, you know, these babies, they are the ones that are going to, you know, and always, you know. I preached a message called the Joshua Generation. I said, the book is still there. All our books are coming back. We're working on this already. Pastor Wale and B and everybody, we have a team, we're all working on this. We're going to put all the books in digital form. So you can actually buy them in Apple, or on Kindle, you know, Amazon. We're working on that, you know, so everything's going to be available. You know, we'll first of all do digital version, because everything's gone digital now. So you can just download it, read on your computer, read on your iPad, you know, and so on and so forth. Praise the Lord. So in that message, I preached about reversal of life. Age reversal. It's 1990 I preached this. That's 20, how many years ago now? 25 years ago. And I said that in the end time, this end time, there are people who will experience age reversal. That's what Sarah experienced. A 90-year-old woman does not have a baby. The Bible says Abraham, he I like it in the New International Version. He says he faced the fact. See, Abraham did not live in denial. See, most Christians are very unrealistic. I'm a strong man of faith, but I also understand that I have to recognize the physical facts that are there. I now use the power of God to change those facts. But to deny the facts that are there is not faith. It's foolishness. The Bible says, look at Romans chapter 4. It says, Abraham, he considered the fact. That's what the King James says. You know, he faced the fact, yeah, my body is dead. Sarah's womb is dead. It's true. He said, but he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But watch this. He was fully persuaded that in the New International Version says that God had the power to do what he has said. So we face the facts, but God's power is bigger than the facts. Give the Lord a clap offering. Go to about two or three verses before this. Very important. Aha! Without weakening in his faith, he what? Faced the fact. He didn't deny the fact. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. He faced the fact. You want to move from the faith, you have to face the facts. Self-denial of facts is not faith. It's foolishness. It's presumptuousness. But to accept the fact is unbelief. I face it, then I now know that the power of God can change the fact. You know what that makes me do? It makes me pray seriously. To generate sufficient power to change the fact. Look at it. He faced the fact. No, stay there until I tell you to go. That his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Next verse. Yet, I didn't hear you. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Next verse, that's the punchline. People are old. Face the fact that people are dying around you. But what does the promise of God say? And be fully persuaded that what God had promised, that your long life, he's able to do it. Give the Lord a clap offering. Am I talking to anybody here? Now, observe something. 1990, I preached this. Sarah was 90. The Bible says she received strength to conceive. Something supernatural happened. Even though her body was 90 years old, the power of God came into the body and it went back to the body of a young girl. So much so that a king wanted to marry her. No king wants to marry a 90-year-old woman. He knew she looked so young. Yet she was 90. So something supernatural started happening. The age, the life of God, the power of God started making her look younger, more beautiful, and then changed the physiology and the anatomy of her womb to be like the womb of a young girl that could have a baby. And I prophesied it then, and I'm still saying it now. There are people like that in the same time. You will see them, they will be 80 years old, you think she's 30. In fact, some stupid young boy will go and I say, I like you. And say, I'm old enough to be your grandmother. I say. It's going to happen.
The amen was very quiet. Now, I'll tell you the reason why. That's the fact. But let me tell you the reason. Pastor Ibrahim taught it tangentially, and I just want to expatiate on it. Go and check the genealogies. See, Adam did not know death. Adam was not born. He was created. He was formed from... He was a full-grown adult. He wasn't a baby. God breathed into him the breath of life. The only thing Adam knew was life. It is sad that through Eve and the devil, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when they ate of that tree, God told them that, you know, the day you eat it, you will die. But they didn't die that day, physically. They died spiritually. The light went off. And then, you know, they started. It took Adam's body 900 years to die. Because there was so much life inside it. Go and observe the genealogies. From Adam, the next generation was about 900 and something. The next one, 800 and something. The next one, 700 and so on. And so on until we come down to the time of Noah and all of them. They lived 500 years. They didn't know how to die. The life of God, the power of God from the Garden of Eden, the residual power of God was still from generation to generation. Enoch, 365 years, even he didn't die. Talk to me, somebody. Hallelujah. Now, watch this. Great spiritual truth. Amen. As sin increased, life expectancy decreased. But watch this. As sin decreases, life expectancy will increase. That's why we're going to perfection. When your sin rate starts going down, your long life starts increasing. It's an exact reversal. You can see, as sin increased, the longevity, it went down from 500 to 400 to 300. By that God time of Abraham was 175. When time to get to time with David and Job and Joshua is that come down to 110. Because of sin. But because Jesus came and he has now given us the power over sin, by getting rid of the sin nature and putting the life of God into our physical members, we reverse that trend. Will be the first and last generation to do it. Before Jesus comes, you're going to see 80-year-old people. They'll look like as if they are 30. Unless they talk to you, you won't know. They will look young. They will look fine. They will be strong. Look at me. I'm 56. Abroad, nobody, they never believe when we tell them, my wife and I. Say, how old are you? I say, I'm 56. People thought I was Idanu's husband. We're in a shop. Yes, true story. I said, no, I'm my dad. He said, what? I said, my husband is just outside. And I called Tosi in. He said, ah! I said, I exercise every day. I haven't seen the fullness of it yet, but I've seen enough to know this brain is working as good as it was when I was 20. I can remember things. I read stuff. I can just look at it. I got it. Oh, yes. I'm not there yet, but I've seen the blade. I know it's there. Let any devil deceive you. Said, the older you grow, you have Parkinson. Oh Lord, my journey, Parkinson. Parkinson, call Parkinson. Go get back, Parkinson. Hey, shape prof, Jerry. Yeah, Parkinson. You know, we hear all these things, we and believe them. It's all over, you know. Oh, when you get old, you know, you won't be able to do this anymore. And this, it comes with old age. Why believe that? Whose report will you believe? I've refused to. I learned this from Ken Hagin. He said, oh, the older you get, your memory starts going. And Ken Hagin said this. I just grabbed it that day. He said, your memory is a part of the inner man. And the Bible says, though the outer man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. My memory is not getting older, it's getting renewed. The inner man is being renewed. And the renewal of the outer inner man is spilling into the outer man. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, quickly. Am I helping anybody here?
Oh my God.
Verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Come on. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest when we get to heaven. Might be made manifest in our glorified body after the resurrection. The problem with us, we don't believe the scriptures. I can't believe, Pastor G, that there are scriptures like this and the church does not emphasize them. You would think that these scriptures don't even exist. You apart from to the glory of God, you don't hear a scripture, Pastor, and maybe a few other. How many times do you hear anybody quote these scriptures? It is part of what the Bible calls the exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be become partakers of the divine nature. We don't talk about them. Everybody's afraid to talk about them. So we commit the sin of omission, omitted the weightier matters of the law. Look at the next verse. It will blow your mind. For we which live are always delivered unto death, for what? Jesus' sake, that the what? Life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our what? Give this to me in the New International, and then they amplified. Oh, karama katofrene. How many want to live long here? This is the cure. For we who are alive are always being given over to death. Now the devil's always attacking us. That's the summary of that one. You know, so that the life of God, the more he attacks you, the more the life of God enters your body. No karama kasha. Hallelujah. May be revealed in our mortal body. Now jump to chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 4. Verse 4, chapter 5 now. Yes. For while we are still in this tent. No. First of all, let's go to King James first. I'll come back here in a minute. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Do you know why you are groaning? To put life from the spirit into the body. Groaning is not scripture, pastor, doctrine. It's not Pastor Luby's doctrine. It's the key to life. You want to put the life. You want to take it from the spirit. You want to pump it and put it inside the physical body. And to do that, you have to groan because there's a resistance. Because there's death in the body, but there's life in your spirit. So when the life hits the death, you... But if you keep doing it, after a while, do you understand? All the death will be gone. Then the life can easily flow into the body. Hallelujah. And then the groaning is not as intense as it used to be. We have experienced it. When we first started groaning, if you get to Songo, you will hear us. But with over the years, because it's not so much death anymore. It's easy now. Is it clear? For we are in this tabernacle, do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed. The clothing there is your body. Your body is the clothing to your spirit. That's why your body is made in exactly the same shape as your spirit. Your spirit has fingers. Your spirit has toes. Your spirit has legs. Your spirit has hands. Your spirit has a chest and a torso. This body is simply the clothing. That's why if you step out of your body, you're still head, legs, hands, and you're made in the image and likeness of God, and God is a spirit. So God has a head. God has legs. God has hands. God is not an orangutan. Are you listening to me? He is not a cloud floating, you know, in some cyberspace that nobody, that is mysterious, that nobody can understand. That's the devil. He's trying to make everything look so. It's not. The Bible says, you have not seen his shape. But what's his shape? Yours. You were made in the same shape. For we are made in the image, shape, and likeness of God. All three persons of the Godhead are just like us. Head, leg, hands, everything. Correction, we are like them. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? So when God was going to make Adam, are you following what I'm trying to say? Jesus was the model. You know when you do a painting, you get somebody to sit down. Then you start copying. That's why it's called the Son of Man. May God have mercy on us. Not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon that what? Mortality. In other words, all the death in your body will be swallowed up of life. Give the Lord a clap offering. Swallow it up. What, baby? I don't know about you, but I've chosen to believe God. You see, you can choose to believe your experience, you can choose to believe the history of men, or you can choose to believe the word of God. I want to say it a third time tonight. Whose report will you believe? I have chosen to believe, and it's been working for me these 30 years. And I've not seen the full fullness of it, but I've seen enough blade. I begin to see the air. And like Pastor Edward Rehim mentioned when he was ministry, when the spirit without measure is released and in manifest, we will see these things in their fullness. And it would be a shame for us to miss out on them. After having heard all these things, you know, I don't be looking at the people who are doing it and say, hey, like it says in the book of Proverbs, it says, how I hated instruction and I did not listen to my teachers. So, that's the second thing. As sin decreases, longevity will increase. Longevity decreased as sin increased. That's what you see in the... That's why all those things are recorded in the Bible. It's not just recorded for genealogy. It's recorded to give you information. And you need to ask questions. Why did they... What was it? It was first of all 900. Methuselah and all of, you know, Adam and that first set. Then the next set, 800. Then the next set, 700. Then the next set, 600, 500. Then the next set, 300. Then the next set, 100, 200, then 175. Then the next set, we start come down to what we have today, 100. And even at 100 today, we don't even believe it. The devil has ever shortened it to 70 to 80. Taking what was in the people of the wilderness. The correct thing for a Christian now, like Pastor Ibrahim has rightly said, is 120 and above. 140, why not? 140 and above. You don't have to, you know. I certainly don't think it's going to take that long for Jesus to come anyway. In this our generation. But at least live well. And have the right mentality. Are you listening to me? I got to close. Am I helping anybody here? And then Pastor Ibrahim beautifully told us we have to, he, you know, summarizes in many, many ways. You keep the commandment of life and love, you know. and then he talked about the secret place of the Most High. I have been preaching that scripture for years. As the man was just talking, some just came to me. It means there's an open place of the Most High. If there is a secret place, it means that there is a place that's not secret. Open outer court. outer court, you will not live long. Notice, watch the tabernacle. The outer court is not a secret place. The holy place in the tabernacle of Moses and then later on in the temple of Solomon, where only the priest entered. It wasn't for everyone. It wasn't for the dube. It wasn't for everybody. Do you understand? Watch this. If you are a Levite, you operate in the outer court, but not in the holy place. Only priests enter the holy place. Watch this. And then if you're only high priest could enter the most holy place. That is the secret place of the Most High. That's why he called it the secret place. The secret place. That's why, you see, you were preaching all these things. You are not just joking. That's not, thank God for Pastor Ibrahim. He said, now you know why you should pray. Now you know why you should choose life. Now you know why you should pray once every 6 hours and operate the Lord's Spirit of life and enter into perfection. Now you know why. And then now you know why so many people have not entered it. You see, I've discovered something. It has helped me tremendously over the years. I learned it from some of our spiritual fathers like Brother Hagen and Kenneth Copeland. When I do not have an experience the Bible promises, I never blame the Bible. And I never try and use tradition to explain it away. And say, hey, I'm God, I'm fish, hey. And it's just like, the problem is us. Why are many Christians not living long? And seeing the salvation, they don't live in the secret place of the Most High. Period. So let us now find, how can I live in the secret place of the Most High? It means I have to make progression from the outer court, which is just living by natural light, to revelation knowledge, which is the holy place, then to experiential knowledge, which is the most holy place. It is not something that is impossible that God doesn't. You also have it. The second thing he said, which is all part of this secret place of Messiah, is to use the law of the Spirit of life, you know, the blood, the word, and the Spirit, you know, pray in the Spirit, you know, walk in love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, for God is love, you know, and all those scriptures in Proverbs that he brought out in Proverbs 3, Proverbs 9, you know, all of them come back to this question of the heart and using the power of the Spirit, the blood, the word, and the blood, the word, and the Spirit to walk in love, to walk in life. You know, there was one scripture he didn't mention, which I would like to mention. He touched it tangentially, and I just want to use it, to bless us. He says, "He that will love life and see good days." He said, let him take evil from his mouth. 1 Peter chapter 3, quickly. What you say and what you think is the combination. You know, most Christians say the right things but think the wrong thing. If you were just saying, it would be the easiest thing in the world. Anyway, you come drive away, it's not my portion in Jesus' name. It's a starting point. But you don't stop by saying. You must say, you must think, and then you must do. For he that will love life, everybody love life here. And see good days. Let's see your hand. Let him refrain. I didn't hear you. His tongue from what? And his lips that they speak no. And then he spoke very, very importantly. Honor your father and your mother. But you can see, I close, how everything is interconnected. See, if you keep the commandment of life and you keep the commandment, you will honor your father and your mother. It's the heart. A man can't keep the commandment of life and love and disobey his father and disobey his mother. or despise them or be rebellious. Even that commandment all hinges on the heart. The fear of God, honesty, humility, what I was taught on Sunday, meekness. The whole thing, I've come to see, Pastor G, the whole thing is interconnected. You can't take one and leave the other. What commandment of life? Choose life. With the right heart. With humility, with honesty. Honor your father and your mother. And then if you have the right heart and you choose life, you will not talk the wrong thing. Over the years, I've trained myself and I'm still training myself. I don't talk death. You will never see this come out of my mouth. You know, hey, will I die? It can't come out of my mouth. By the grace of God. Because I've learned to I've reprogrammed my thinking. Ever since I was a young boy, when I was 21, I told you the story. Over the years, I have reprogrammed myself. I will live, I will not die. I've been tempted, though. I've told you my stories. You know, I've had all kinds of death, life-threatening situations. And they still come. But over the years now, because I've grown spiritual and I'm still growing, you know, I've learned to laugh at the devil. Before I find anything that's going to really make me afraid, it will go far. You know, recently we were flying. You know, I don't remember where I was coming from. And suddenly, the plane just. You know, there was an air pocket and thing went, you know, and then it dropped in altitude. Not low, not much, but it dropped in altitude. You know, suddenly by some significant amount that you could feel it. I was on my seat. I was praying. It didn't even occur to me. I'm being honest. The thought never occurred to me that that plane will crash. It can't crash when I'm inside. Crash, okay. And you know, later on, the guys were all laughing and everybody was talking. I said, wow, that guy was quite a fright. I said, didn't give me. Perfect love casts out fear. See, fear builds up. It's like dirt. The other day I used the illustration of a toilet. You know, it builds up. But if you are cleaned out once every 6 hours, you don't give it time to accumulate. So perfect love, you can use the word flushes out fear. Same word, same sense. Do you understand? So if you keep the blood, the life, the power of the Holy Spirit, if you keep it flowing, any little fear that wants to accumulate, before it accumulates, you've already thrown it out. Before it accumulates, you're already throwing it out. So at any point in time, when your heart is examined, there's no fear there. That's what the Bible means, says, perfect love casteth out fear. Cast it out. Not like we're not tempted. It's not as if, you know, situations will not come. But what is inside is more powerful than what's coming from the outside. Fear is from the outside. From the devil. So when it hits my heart, and it does, You know, and it comes like that. What is inside rises up. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And the thing that comes up is, I will live and I will not die. And I will live and I will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he has broken the power of death. Program yourself in the Holy Ghost. I like what Pastor Abraham said. I got close. I'm not allowing you to die. I have not given you the permission to die. If you die, you are in disobedience. Honor your father and your mother. And your father has said, you will live, you will not die. Are you going to obey your father? So you will live. I say you will live. I say you will live.
I said you will live. You will not die. You are not permitted to die. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Talk to God, everybody. You are not permitted to die. It's a pastoral instruction. Honor your father. How many want to honor their father and their mother? If you want to honor me, live. I have not given you permission to die. Hallelujah. To die is disobedience. Did you hear me? You will obey. Put one hand on your heart. Talk to God. Put one hand on your heart. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. He's the Spirit of life. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Move amongst us. Children, hear my children. Share it with you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You see, the reason for covering, one of the reasons, is to protect us. So that between, you see, we're not there yet. When many of some of us only believe in the secret place, some of us visit the secret place, but we don't live there. But we are making progress there. So between now and then, God gives you covering. So you will not die. Make use of the time to grow and make progress spiritually. Don't waste time. So people, maybe we just take covering. At least I have covering. It doesn't matter. I can also do anything I like. No. You want to use the covering. That's the purpose for the covering. So that you will have time to be able to develop yourself spiritually and enter into your inheritance. It should protect you. God knows you're not fully mature yet and you're not there yet. So that's why God gives you a place where you have covering. So you are going to live.
Amen.
You will not die.
Amen.
You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
And you will learn to dwell in the secret place of the Most High.
Amen.
And you will honor Him in your heart.
Amen.
And you will make the Lord your refuge. And the Most High your habitation.
Amen.
And you will set your love upon Him.
Amen.
And you will honor Him.
Amen.
And then with long life, He will satisfy you and show you His salvation. So you got covering working for you. So as you honor your father and your mother. So it keeps, it's like a canopy. But make use of the time. Don't idle it away. Now put one hand up. Good. Raise your other hand to God. Put one hand on your heart. Heart is just symbolic of your honesty and sincerity. The other hand raised up to God is symbolic of your dependence on God. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Good. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the word, blood, brother. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us. As we pray, Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me tonight, reminding me that is your perfect will, that I live long so as to see your salvation, the manifestation of the perfection and the fullness of Christ in my life, and enjoy the work of my hands for long, spend my years in pleasures, my days in prosperity, serve you and fulfill all of your will. I understand that it does not please you when I don't live long enough to fulfill my destiny. And so tonight, in light of your word that has come through your servant, I purpose in my heart by your mercy and by your grace to choose life, to keep the commandment of life and love by the blood, the word, and the spirit, not to speak death with my mouth, to honor my father and my mother, natural and spiritual. So I will live long. So I will live long and see good days and fulfill the fullness of my destiny. In Jesus' name. Nekaramatoste fred. Liprime shakito fredeg. Leve katora. Zefrikitolo. Lombrokotosko fukutramatosh. Kamatomatofukutramatosh. Lombrokomatomatofukutramatosh. Lombrokomatomatofre. Zufri. Rikatoshka. Zefre. Lebrekata. Zefri. Limbrekataya. Yukoto. Lambrakatosh, Lambrakatulum to Fidu Fidu Fresh, Zofi, Tulomangar, Tulum to Fidu Fresh, Tulum to Fidu Fresh. In Jesus' name, say, Father.